So, evangelism, that a personal evangelist gets involved in, the actual evangelism that the evangelist gets, personal evangelist gets involved in. And if you look at it, in the notes, the first thing I want to emphasize is while speaking with a non-Christian, don't forget to listen deeply as well. I'm making that as a first point because we love to talk. Now, even the whole issue of listening has to be different from our normal listening. And we'll learn about that. But what do I mean, while speaking, listen deeply? We've got three sub-points there. While speaking, be aware of the person and his responses. Don't just have your 5 points you want to communicate and you want to finish the whole package. And this is why some methods taught in personal evangelism workshops like this are a little unacceptable to me. Because just learning techniques makes me what? Very methodical, but I'm not really personal. When I'm doing personal evangelism, I'm trying to be aware of the person whom I'm relating with in my speaking to that person and watching his responses, body language, eyes, fidgeting. I mean, they may be indicating that he needs to go to the bathroom. I don't care. How many times you've been in some kind of intimate distress like that and you've gone visiting people and they don't even ask you, do you want to use the restroom? I've been to some people's place, I've just landed, they don't even ask me, have you had something to eat on the way? Do you want to freshen up a bit? No, straight away, what's the issue? Chris Williams has come, we're all waiting for you to minister. They don't care about the personal needs. See, we are not very personal. You may need to stop speaking and start listening. The person might have a question to us. They don't understand what you're saying. The person may be upset. And what you say triggers off something. Some inner longing or some inner problem. And so you may need to switch between speaking and listening. Are you getting this point? Just because I have content to offload, don't offload everything. And think you're done. Khatam. I remember one brother used to be with DCC. Went to someone. After he went to someone, I went to that same someone. And that someone told me, oh, this person came. When he sat me down and he said, Jesus, you know. Finished. I'm finished now. If you don't believe in Jesus, you go to hell. I finished. My responsibility is over. I feel so relieved. I told you the gospel. So when I went, this person said, that's what he did. I said, good for you. You're going to hell now. You better disarm him. He's offloaded. What am I supposed to do now? That person used to keep telling me, you've got to tell so and so about Jesus. You've got to tell. So why are you telling me? Are you someone like that? You're always waiting for someone else to go and tell your friend about Jesus, your mate about Jesus. You're using somebody else to do your evangelism. And because I told this person, hey, you know, you feel burdened, go tell yourself. So that's how he did it. Oh, like a machine gun. Finish. Now you're dead. It really happens. These things really happen. Next point, establish the fact that you have come to this person to speak only about Jesus Christ. That's the start. That's the starting point. Why have you come? Why are you making contact? Why are you meeting this person? You don't start the conversation with, have you been to Big Bazaar? Every price has gone up. All because of sin in this world. I can be funny sometimes, Sandy, you know. So I've taken the point of sin. See, in DCC we emphasize sin. So I've blurred out that sin point. Or, you know what's the big topic these days? Arakshan. Yeah. Arakshan, you know what's happening? Why are they burning all these things? Because of selfishness. You know why people are selfish? And the person says, I don't know. Oh, it's because you're a sinner. And anyway, why does Big B want Arakshan to be projected? He is also a sinner. We're all sinners and John, no, not John, sorry, where is it? I don't know where it is. I better SMS someone who knows, you know. Oh, it's Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, I'm exaggerating, but establish the fact, even when you're making the appointment, I want to come to talk to you about Jesus Christ. The person is going to say what?
Yeah.
So when you meet, the person knows why you've come. It's intentional. Are you getting it? It's intentional. Very clear. No ambiguity about it. You also have a goal, number 3. Make clear that you're interested in leading this person to a personal decision about Jesus Christ. I remember my best friend from school days. He used to say, why are you backing me to a wall? I said, I have one intention. I want to get you against the wall and tell you, you've got to decide about Jesus Christ. Why do you want to talk to me about Jesus Christ? I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ because I want you to think about committing your life, surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Oh, really? You know, 9 out of 10 people might say, I'm shocked. No one was so direct with me. You want me converted. You want to convert me. And then what will we say? We'll start on a theological discourse. I can't convert. Only Holy Spirit can convert. That person doesn't know Jesus. Why are you telling them about the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. If you want to establish the fact that you don't convert, what can you respond? You want to convert me? I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. And I want you to choose to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. and say, "We're very interested." I remember going to my Sardar friend's house one evening, and I was in rubber chappals because they lived nearby. From Kodagate, I went to Gita Housing Society, and Dipinder Singh's mother was there, and no one else was there except this very handsome Sardar whom I had never met, and his very beautiful Sardarani wife. And they were leaving. As they were leaving, Auntie Ji said, "Ah, Christopher, Arya." And she introduced me to them and said to them, "This is Christopher. He tries to convert everyone to Jesus Christ." So this handsome Sardar said, "Really? What am I supposed to say?" No, I'm not doing it. I said, "Yeah, that's right." So he said, "See, I don't have time for you to try and convert me. So what about this? We're going to Latif's for lunch, a dinner. We'd like you to join." And I'm looking at my... And I said, "Sure." And I went to Latif's. And of all the days, Mr. Lund, the principal of bishops, is sitting at the next table. And I'm looking, he would kill you if he saw you in chappals. And as I'm entering and I see Mr. Lund, I'm praying, "Lord, blind him." I have to talk to this Sardar and his wife about Jesus Christ. And they're paying for the dinner anyway in Latif's. There's no Latif's now, it's still there, but shell. Amazing, you know. That family knew how committed I was to talking about Jesus only. They would introduce me to all their relatives. I remember going to Delhi with Dipinder Singh in 1969 and in Greater Kailash. And we were in this lovely bungalow, rich place. Forget one or two, Greater Kailash. And his uncle, some officer in the Air Force, he came and he lay in the bed and he was talking to two young men. You know, all the things that an uncle can talk to two young upcoming adults. Adult talk. And Dipinder Singh said, "This is my friend Chris Williams, Father Williams. He likes to convert everybody." "So what did Uncle G do?" He said, "I love to hear about Jesus Christ. I have found again and again that if you are direct like that, most people will say, okay, tell me. I'm going to take the challenge." You know who's more afraid? Not the people you're going to talk to. You're the wonderpoke. Just try this. Be very clear, right? And you won't put off people. There was an RSS man in our colony, a housing society. And he used to get very angry. And one time the Pope was coming to Bombay or somewhere. And he said, So I said, "Why are you shouting and yelling and screaming?" And very quickly in the conversation, I said, "You know what I want? I want to convert you to Jesus Christ." So he looked at me. I said, "You're going to hit me? Then I'll hit you back and we'll hit each other. What fun. So why don't you just listen? Calm down." And you know what happened? He calmed down. He used to march up and down in the half pants, early mornings. You know, the RSS do that. You're not supposed to be doubtful about this. I'm not saying don't be afraid. Sometimes it's boom-pati, boom-pati, boom. But still, the point is, establish the fact that you have come to this person to speak only about Jesus Christ and make clear that you want to lead that person into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is a surrender of his life to Jesus Christ. But that has to be voluntary, free and clear cut. You've got to decide. But may I present to you Jesus Christ? You're free to decide. It must be to Jesus Christ and both as Lord and as Savior. You got it? Number four, don't be taken in with the myth of living the life before you can speak about Jesus. Because by the time you live the life, you will be in heaven. And then you quote me, you know, the Bible says, you must be salt and light. I'm trying to be salt and light. And people don't know how tasty you are. Because they can't see. There's two amongst our own families. We're trying to live the life, and then we're attending their cremation. We're trying to live the life before we speak to them. Too late. But even in our own families, living the life is not enough. We must speak and explain the gospel. Unless I explain it, and make them listen to who is Jesus and what has He done, how can they understand? Because all of them have got some ideas. And it may be wrong. There was a Mr. Edwards in DCC. How many of you remember old Mr. Edwards? And he came and he had a blue pen and a green pen and a red pen, and he used to take copious notes when I used to preach. The person who had the most notes and all the rubbish papers in his pocket. And on every bit of paper he wrote notes. One day he came to me and he said, "You know, Chris, what happened? Wonderful thing happened to me." He had come to our church many, many years. He said, "You know, this Sabrina. Sabrina asked me one day, Chris, Uncle, are you born again?" Huh? Nobody ever asked me that question. And I was thinking, look at it. Nobody ever asked, even in the church. So I said, "What did you answer?" He said, "I don't know, you know." Isn't it amazing? Nobody asked me. And then he started making it a philosophy. "This is the most important question in life, Chris." But no one sits and talks to one another, even in the church. And the best place to practice is in the church. You know each other. You talk to each other. Have you ever talked to each other and said, "Are you born again? Hey, Sandy, can you tell me when you got born again?" And then we get shy to tell how we got born again. Stop practicing. Be fun. Because you'll learn how we've all become high-tech in our explaining how we got born again. We get so many stories and so many distortions and expanded versions. Start practicing with each other. Living the life takes a lifetime, and none of us is perfect. So if someone says, "But I don't see this in your life," what can you say? "Thank you for telling me. Thank you for telling me." If they are a non-Christian, don't say, "Pray for me." You know? "Thank you for pointing it out to me. Thank you. I'm sorry it's not seen in me. But this is the truth about Jesus. And as you have pointed out to me my imperfection, I want to tell you, I'm talking about the perfection of Jesus." You got it? See, because when I'm witnessing, I'm not trying to point to me and my living up to it. I'm pointing to the Jesus. And the more I tell someone about Jesus, the more I expose myself, don't I? And one of the reasons I'm not witnessing is because I don't want people to find out the shallowness of my life. Think about it for a moment. I'm afraid, because they'll see, acha, acha, this is Jesus. Huh? And we hear the noise in your house. I'm imperfect. I'm sorry. I've let Jesus down, but I'm presenting to you who? Jesus, not myself. Number 5, speak about Jesus. Speaking about Jesus is not sharing your personal testimony. What's happening in a personal testimony? And you might distort the facts about Jesus. Personal testimony may be used as a mirror setting the stage. When we get to the evangelism where you have to use your ears and listen, I will be teaching you about how you need to make sure that you're not talking about yourself and identifying everything to yourself. You're trying to shift the attention from you and everything else to whom? Tell me. Jesus Christ. Personal testimony does not lead to commitment by the person listening. Even though in many testimonies I've heard, people start preaching. Have you heard testimonies? And because Jesus saved me, I want you. If there's anybody here listening, I want you to be saved. Doesn't happen. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, right? Remember, if I be lifted up, I will. If Christ is lifted up, He will draw men to Himself. And you'll give me the donations, and you'll talk about me, and you'll tell everybody, you've got to go to this place, you know, Christ is speaking. It's not about Jesus. Be careful. And then, you need a proper, concrete, simple plan. Look at all the words I've employed there. A proper, concrete, simple plan. It's planned, it's definite method for personal evangelism. I've given you several, and I'll be giving you some more that is not in your files. Why do you need that? You need a plan because you want to be focused. It's just like when I have a written sermon which I have prepared, I can time myself and I can stick to the point. So also in personal evangelism, if I've got a prepared plan, I know exactly where I'm headed in my conversation. Even when using such methods, remember you need to develop the skill to turn conversations away from secular other subjects to the subject of Jesus Christ. Have a method that deals and overcomes this challenge of distraction away from Christ. Have a method that helps you bring the person to a point of decision. You don't want to leave the conversation by saying nothing. You've told them about Jesus, but you need to say, you've got to decide. What I liked about John MacArthur, and some people don't like about John MacArthur, he says, every sermon I preach for a verdict. A verdict. I want people to make a choice. Every sermon I preach, I want to nail people to the wall and force them to choose. Preach like that, but even in our personal evangelism. I want to go away from the conversation saying, you've got to choose. You've got to make a choice. I believe in election. But I also believe Jesus said again and again, and the Bible says again and again, whosoever will believe in Him should not perish. So I want to nail them. One of my friends, when I nailed him, he said, I'll nail you. I said, good for me. No? You're trying to make me choose. I'm going to constantly attack you when you're a hypocrite. Good enough. Opening approaches. How do I open the conversation? Are you tired? All right. A direct approach and a gradual approach. This is the opening, initial approach. All right. What's the direct approach? Are you interested in Jesus Christ? I've made an appointment, or I want to make an appointment, I ask, are you interested in Jesus Christ? Chandu, it's nice to meet you. Are you interested in Jesus Christ? What does he say? I don't know. That's modernity, you know. I don't know. Okay. Why don't you know? Why don't you know? I mean, are you interested in Jesus Christ? He might say, no, I'm not interested in Jesus Christ. So if the negative response comes, I don't give up. Is there any special reason why you are not interested in Jesus Christ? So he might say, I've met many people like this, your money-making racket. This is a money-making racket. So what do I do? Listen. And we'll get to that. And in that listening process, you know, my next question will be, why does it bother you? Then he's going to answer, right? But that's in the next session. If the response is positive, what do I say? May I tell you about Jesus Christ? He said, I'm interested. And I say, may I tell you about Jesus Christ? Because he said, I'm interested, what's he going to say? Sure, tell me about Jesus Christ, even if he's being a hypocrite. He's going to say that, right? The gradual approach. We're having Pav Bhaji, Chole, whatever else, you know, sitting and talking about Arakshan, whatever else, politics. But as soon as possible, underline that, as soon as possible, turn the conversation to talk about some prominent, important person. Without wasting too much time on such a person. Important person. Hey, have you heard about Amitabh Bachchan? He's an important person. Or you can talk about Manmohan Singh, or better still, you can talk about Zakir Hussain, or Abad Kamu, or whatever. You know, talk about some important person. So, have you ever personally met an important person? See, you're having this conversation with an important person. And you say, yeah, he also tells you important person, you tell about an important person. Very soon, don't get too caught up, you know, you're not interested in those important people. You say, have you ever personally met an important person? What's the normal answer going to be? No. Then I say, why? But first, if that person says, oh yes, I have. Oh, tell me about it. But don't let him talk on and on and on. Are party ho gaya, ye ho gaya. As soon as he's taking a breath, interject. See, gradual approach. Are you getting it? Don't yawn or anything like that, okay? Listen intently, with interest. And as soon as he starts yawning like, as soon as he gives a pause, interject, there's several yawning. I'm so boring. See? As soon as he pauses, get in, edgeways. Say, would you like to meet a very important person or more important person? See, he's told me about Kalam, Abdul Kalam. Wow, I met him. When I was talking to someone, he said, I was working for him. Pakad gaya. Oh, really? So you know him? Yeah, I know Abdul Kalam. I was working for him. One person even said he was working for me. Wow, really great. Tell me about it. Then when he pauses, say, can I tell you about someone more important than Abdul Kalam? So, oh, you know someone more important? Say, yes. I would like to introduce you to him. I'd like you to meet him too. Oh, really? See the interest. Uh-huh. That person might say, who is this person? And I say, this person is Jesus Christ. He faints, right? I mean, oh, you're one of these religious nuts. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But he's a very important person. See, it doesn't matter what he's saying. I've got him to listen to me introducing him to Jesus Christ. I'm a nun, yeah, sure. But I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. May I introduce you to Jesus Christ? And what's he going to say? I'm not interested. I'm not interested. See, the conversation closes normally, right? But not with personal evangelist. You say what? Why? Not why. You ask a deeper question than why. Because if you say why, you open it up to a long discourse from him. You say, are there any special reasons? And even more focused, is there any one special reason why you say no? See, you're getting him to listen. If that is not your approach, another approach can be in the gradual approach. How do you feel about Jesus Christ? How do you feel about Jesus Christ? So that person is going to say, I feel nothing. And you take the conversation from there. And bring the conversation to getting that person to explain why. We're going to move to more of that when we come to page 8, using our years in personal evangelism, developing the art of listening. But now, turn to page 7, conversation starters in personal evangelism. I hope the tea is about to come, because a lot of our people need more than me to wake them up. Alright, number 1, prayer. Conversation starters. And you say, prayer? How can prayer be a conversation starter? Pray. Specifically, ask God to lead you to someone His Spirit has prepared for you to talk to. You know, we usually don't do this. We go to people and they always think no to us. Why? Because God has not prepared them. Have you asked God to lead you to the one He has prepared? See, it's a conversation starter. I'm depending on God. Prayer is dependence on God. I say, God, lead me to people You have prepared. So that when I ask them, they don't say no. And teach me the skill of getting people to say yes. You got it? Be specific. You want to love the world and allow God to love the world through you. Next, make contact or an appointment. How? Through personal talk, visit, telephone call to visit this person. Making it clear that you want to meet this person and that this appointment is to speak with him or her about. Don't leave that vague, okay? They say, can I come and meet you? I have something special to tell you. Hey, yes, yes, come. And then you say, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. What's so special about that? Trying to convert me or what? Wasting my time. See? So you've got to make it clear when you make the appointment. After prayer. Not without prayer. Next. At the first opportunity in a friendly conversation, that initial friendly conversation, turn the conversation to Jesus Christ. At the door. At the door. As the person opens the door, as you shake hands and say, hi. You say, I am or we are from BCC, Disciples Community Church. Don't use abbreviations because they say, what is BCC? I tell you, you're learning alphabets, isn't it? Some non-Christians in my early days used to say, what is it? EU, EGF, OM, SU, YFC, so many letters. It's out of context, right? You have new vocabulary, you know. To say, I am from a Christian group, or if you've already established friendship, you don't have to say that. But you have to identify yourself, give context to yourself, alright? Say, I have come to talk to you about Jesus Christ. If they say they are Hindus, you've knocked on the door and said, but I'm a Hindu. Why do you want to talk to me about Jesus Christ? You can say, I don't mind that you're a Hindu. That's all right. Or you can say, that's all right. Or you can say, I know. I still want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. So, oh, really? I met some very senior officials known to be RSS people at the Charity Commissioner's Office at the Reserve Bank of India, and they wanted to know about the Bible and Jesus Christ. Amazing. It's okay. Some even said, Acha, you mean Jesus is for Hindus also? Absolutely. I remember one charity commissioner when he was examining my case for Grace to India. He said, you mean you would give the tapes and John MacArthur's teachings from the Bible for Hindus also? I said, yeah, Hindus, Muslims, atheists, everybody. The more the merrier, charity commissioner. You know what he turned around and told me? I want to congratulate you. I'm thinking, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. I have been surprised again and again, and I'm not making up these stories. He is for all, right? Oh, you will be surprised how many educated people misunderstand that Jesus is for Christians. And haven't you met people who you invite to church and they say, oh, we can come to church. We're allowed to. I've longed to go to a church. And some of my Hindu friends don't think of BCC kind of church. You know, they think of the St. Paul's kind of nice building. And you know why they like to go to a church? They say, it's so peaceful and quiet. And I say, yeah, absolutely. Say, not like our Gurdwara, not like our temple. And then they come to DCC and say, just gadbad. They want the quietness of the church atmosphere. Jesus is for you also. Oh, really? The person says, that's great. So wonderful you want to know, I then say. We can freely talk with you about Jesus Christ. An opening question. Have you ever thought about Jesus Christ? What's that person going to say? You'll be surprised. They may say many times. Actually, when I'm in trouble, I pray to Vishnu and Ganesh and I've gone to Mount Mary. Have you heard people say that? Oh, I long for someone who will answer my prayers. Well, may I tell you about Jesus Christ? Don't start saying, you should never go to Mount Mary. That's idolatry. Don't get sidetracked. We're not clarifying everything. We're trying to speak about Jesus Christ. Number four, please do not use a roundabout conversation to talk about Jesus Christ. Don't get too, you know, into conversation somehow, you know, to win that person over, because you'll end up only having long conversations, never coming to the point. Number five, when there is a tense moment while you're talking about Jesus, or if there is resistance, focus on listening. Yeah, I hate Christians. I want to kill Christians. Don't show shock. Doom, 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 doom. Yes. You're praying, right? Start listening. Why is he angry? Why? He must have been hurt by Christians. Or maybe his daughter got converted and he's very angry. Mike Barwani's father used to use all the F's and B's. Not against me. Sit with him and say, talking about Jesus. And he'd come down. Today he's reading his Bible regularly. You know that? Manoj's mother once, when I went to visit her in hospital, said, you are a thief. You chore. Kept talking to her about Jesus Christ. I don't want to talk about, I'm not a chore. Don't get distracted. Listen. Tell me about it. Why do you think I'm a chore? You're taking that property in Salisbury Park for Mukti Yojana children. You have them there. But move the conversation back to Jesus, okay? Don't buy into the idea that being a friend first is important and you need to earn the right to speak about Jesus Christ. You spend your lifetime trying to earn the right. You're trying to be a friend. Who told you you have to be a friend to tell about Jesus? By the time you're a friend, that person is at the cremation. And you've earned the right to put some more wood on the fire to burn the dead body. That's all you've earned. Again, I put number seven, depend upon a method. But depend on God, number one. but also have a method that you depend on to help you talk about Jesus Christ in a focused way. It's like the railway tracks, keeps the train on track. Any questions? Is someone working on the tea? Good. Alright, let's stand up and sing Love the World Through Me, Lord. Alright? I hope you're learning something. Are you learning something? You've got to say yes, right? Alright, let's sing it. The ladies will sing it, the men will listen. Alright? Love the world through me, Lord. This world of broken men. Ready?
Love the world through me, Lord. This world of broken men.